If we talk about this session, I'll be presenting our equity framework. As we all know, public health, human rights, and poverty alleviation concerns all point to the need or better meet the healthcare needs of the poor. And it's also a very, it's almost a central pillar of social justice. And we have seen that most of the program, even well-intentioned programs, not always reach the poor. So we designed a practical approach for policymakers and implementers to improve access among the poor for healthcare services and reduce inequities. And we all know when we are saying inequities, it means there are inequalities which are unnecessary, avoidable, unjust, and unfair. So when we are talking about these issues, they are complicated issues and they need a comprehensive approach. So in this presentation, I'll present some data and then the framework, and we'll be happy to answer your questions. So if you look at, and most of the examples, this one we have for family planning, but it can easily be applied to the health sector. So if you look at the data, we have conducted disaggregated urban rural quintile analysis for 16 countries, and it shows that unmet need for family planning is higher among the poor. So we compare poorest people in rural areas or urban as compared to urban wealthy. We see that they have higher unmet need for family planning. But at the same time, if you look at the modern method use, it's lower among the poor. So needs are higher, use lower. If we also look at the public sector's highly subsidized public sector resources, who's using those resources? So if you look at the public sector clients, in most of these countries, in the 16 country analysis, it's very clear there's less than 20% of the public sector clients actually belong to the lowest 40% quintile. So what we are saying that need higher, use lower, and highly subsidized public sector resources not reaching the poor. So then we were thinking about, so what can we do about it? We need practical approach. But when we thought, well, let's find solution in this word equity. So we are saying E is engaging and empowering the poor. So when we see most of the programs for alleviating poverty, there's no engagement of the poor. So actually they know what the problems are. They can help us devise solutions. And they can even monitor progress and let us know something is not working or working. So engaging and empowering the poor, it's really very important when we are talking about achieving equity goals. Then Q is quantifying the level of inequality in healthcare use and status. For effective, if you want to be effective in advocacy, policy dialogue, policy formulation, designing really responsive programs, we need to understand what is the size and gravity of the problem and have really powerful evidence so that we can be very effective in our efforts. So what is the size and gravity of the problem? That's where we are talking about equity. Understanding the facilitators and barriers to access. Because sometimes we say, okay, we are designing programs for reaching the poor, so it's an affordability issue. Let's do something financing side. But that may not be the case. It can be social, economic, social or cultural or religious barriers. So it's very important to understand what are those specific barriers or facilitators to access so that we can design responsive programs. So once we know we have good information, poor and engaged, so what can we do about it? One of the things we can do is integrate equity goals, approaches, and indicators in policies, plans, and development agendas. Because most of the times we see policy documents, the first paragraphs talks about a lot of concern, the poverty alleviation, needs to be do something about it, and all those things. When you start looking at what specific goals they have, or interventions are there, or how they're going to monitor and evaluate, you don't see specific pro-poor goals or approaches or monitoring and evaluation indicators. And at the facility level, healthcare facility, no one is accountable for achieving those goals or making sure that services are reaching the poor. And T, we are saying targeting efforts and resources to the poor. Because we have seen when without proper oversight and targeting, services are not going to reach the poor. We have seen like several years examples. So we really, when we say universal health care or we are saying services free for all and all those things, if we have limited resources, we really need to do something about targeting our efforts and resources because poor are the one who are hardest to reach and maybe more expensive. Yielding public-private partnerships for equity. All sectors have important role. And we have seen very successful models of public-private partnerships, which are really helping countries improve access to healthcare services among the poor. So how this framework works? So engaging and empowering is throughout the process, very important. And so this is about analyzing data, which we are saying quantifying and understanding, advocating for favorable policy changes, or organizing dialogue with policymakers, decision makers, which is, and that helps integrate all these issues in the policy. And then really taking action, mobilizing action, so targeting resources or yielding public-private partnerships. So I'll present two examples, and we have worked in several countries and achieved a number of really good results. So this, I'm presenting Kenya example. I'll be presenting the same, the process we used. So for example, in Kenya, for analyzing or understanding the problems, what we have, we conducted detailed review of policies, like what policy says about reaching the poor, what specific interventions we have. We also conducted market analysis or market segmentation analysis to understand what is the level of inequality, who's using services, not using services, really all those issues. Then poverty analysis, which was poverty mapping, understanding the definitions of poverty, dimensions of poverty in the context of Kenya. Financing mechanisms, what the specific mechanisms we have to reach the poor. Do we have any pro-poor financing or demand-side financing mechanisms? And then we conducted key informant interviews with policymakers, implementers, and providers to understand specific barriers, and also focus group discussions with the poor, below 30 years, above 30 years, users, non-users, urban, rural, men and women. So to get the information. After that, what we did, based on this information, we identified key barriers. Some of them like misinformation about family planning. There was some lack of male engagement came up and hidden cost to services. Women were paying for transportation or wage loss was like all these financial costs. And also stockouts and provider bias. Those issues came up. So we organized dialogue between the poor and providers, healthcare providers, at the community level, and then dialogue between the poor and implementers or administrators at the provincial level, and then dialogue among the policymakers at the national level. And that really informed the development of national reproductive health strategy in Kenya. So now if you look at the strategy, it has a specific goal, increasing CPR among the poor by 20 percentage point. Very clear, time-bound, quantifiable goal. It has specific interventions talking about design targeted interventions for poverty pockets and slums, shifting resources from relatively well-served areas to areas of extreme poverty, implement healthcare financing mechanisms such as informing scale-up of output-based financing, which is a voucher scheme to reach the poor, creating national social health insurance programs, and strengthening implementation of exemption mechanisms. They already have waivers and exemption, but not necessarily benefiting the poor. So they want to strengthen it and support community-based distribution because there were a number of issues, misinformation, services are not reaching, and all those. So the other example I want to present is from Jharkhand state in India. This is one of the states where there's high poverty and also low health and development indicators. So here is Jharkhand, okay? And in this state, there are number of, like if you compare the poorest ruler quintile, they about 17% use modern methods as compared to wealthiest ruler, which is 43%. So there are a lot of inequalities. 38% of the women, they get married, the age group 15 to 19. 25% adolescents experience childbearing. So a lot of issues. At the same time, because this is a very interesting time in India, a lot of under National Reproductive Health Mission, they have a lot of financial resources flowing from central government to different states. And now they have panchayati, like government public representatives are involved. They have community-based workers. They call them ashas. They are from the poor families, and they are actually involved in the implementation of National Reproductive Health Mission. So there are a number of opportunities at the same time. So what we did, the same, this is our same equity framework. So policy analysis, market, poverty, financing, and barriers analysis. Then we organized multi-sectoral planning meetings at the state level, district level, community level, with different decision makers. And we also used demographic projection models like FemPlan and DemProj to come up with quantifiable, time-bound, smart goals. And as a result of that, the state actually launched Family Planning Reproductive Health Strategy, Family Planning Strategy for Jharkhand. It was launched on actually August 17th, 2010. And it has a specific goal, CPR among the poor from 24% to 52%, which is quite ambitious. The strategy talks about rolling it out in the poorest, 10 poorest districts first. And now the process has started with the development of district action plans and PIPs, so it will be implemented in those poorest districts. And they're talking about mapping urban slums and poverty pockets, instituting mobile clinics, training as frontline workers, actually indigenous women, so that they can be more effective, and also implementing public-private partnerships model for achieving or increasing access among the poor. So some of the highlights I want to say, it's really, when we talk about the policy environment, it's a dynamic environment. We really need to understand policy and market to be able to design good programs. Government leadership and ownership is very important if you are really talking about the sustainability. And it's a continuous process of monitoring, evaluation, problem solving, feedback, so that we can really work on programs and make them more responsive. Financing, sustainable financing, especially when we are talking about the poor, we really need to understand policy framework, budgeting framework, how resources are allocated, and introduce something which fits within the broader budgeting framework. Otherwise, one-time resource allocation is not going to help the poor. So sustainable financing is the key. And linking proven models or best practices to policies are also good for sustainability. Thank you very much.